happy to be here.
We're happy to be here. We're happy you're here. Mm-hmm. Should we start with a report?
I think we should.
Okay. Get us going.
Okay. So reading. I am rereading one of my favorite books. It's called On the Brink of Everything by Parker J. Palmer. I haven't read all of his books, but everything I've read of his is really beautiful. He also did a podcast interview on being with Krista Tippett.
Such a good podcast.
Oh, I love it. But he did an interview with her a while back, and it is probably my favorite podcast episode I've ever listened to, like ever.
Okay.
It's stunning. They talk all about this book. But yeah, it's one of my favorites. Highly recommend.
Well, it's a lovely title. I also like that we got a little bit of reading, a little bit of recommending. Sounds like a good episode. Parker J. Palmer on being.
Yeah.
Since my last report was about how I was buying my time, the time is now. And this week, Iron Flame, which is the second book after Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros, comes out. And I have not been this excited for a book release since like Hunger Games or Harry Potter. And not only are they really great books, but it's just really fun to feel that feeling again. And I'm really excited.
I love that.
I know, it's so fun.
Okay, what are you eating?
I'll tell you what, I'm eating a lot of things, but I went to Trader Joe's and they have the stuffing flavored kettle chips. They're so good.
I'm so excited to try them.
What are you eating?
I mean, I'm living on unsalted almonds and a prayer at the moment.
Mikella is on her, she's on her radiation diet.
Yeah, I'm on week 3. But listen, I'll tell you what I'm daydreaming of eating.
Yeah, I want to hear that.
It's my favorite breakfast. So sourdough or any bread will do. Toast it up, put on some mashed avocado, greens if you're feeling it. I like arugula, feta, hemp seeds, sriracha.
It's a beautiful situation.
It's immaculate. And you know, once I'm done with this round of treatment, you know, I'm going to be living it up with that breakfast in the lineup again.
Yes. I feel like as a people, for some reason, we overlook sriracha as a finisher.
Oh, it's so good.
She does some heavy lifting.
She does.
Don't forget her. Don't forget her. Playing. What are you playing this week?
So, before we recorded this, oh, what am I playing this week?
I'm like, these are all really bad questions right now.
What I will be doing this week is trying to, you know, continue on, going through radiation.
Have less cancer.
Yeah, just the usual.
LOL, so playful.
LOL. I'm going to tell you what I just did today for playing.
Tell me.
So I went over to my lovely friend turned sister-in-law, went over to her house, and she is helping me crochet a scarf. And I'm having the time of my life.
I've never been able to master it.
Yeah. I used to crochet with my great-grandma.
That's so sweet.
And I don't remember how to do it. So she is reteaching me, and we're doing it together. And it's just so fun.
That's so tender. I love it.
Yeah.
I like that it's such a connecting thing. Like, it's a skill that people, like, literally pass on in person. And I think there's something so lovely about that. Mm-hmm. For playing, this week we went to the zoo. And I gotta tell you, November at the zoo is a perfect time. And the animals were so active. Normally the zoo makes me sad because the animals seem like they're having a bad time. Mm-hmm. And they can't tell me that, but I can feel it. I know that there are good zoos in the world. This is just a sidebar, but this is coming from a girl who in third grade started bringing snails home in my pencil box, like in bulk, much to my mom's horror, which now that I have children, I'm like, that's the meanest thing I ever could have done. But because I thought they looked cold. Do you know what I mean?
Shelby.
And so like, the zoo's a mixed bag, but the animals all really seemed really happy. I think the weather was nice, like the 50s and 60s, and like, it was just really fun. And my daughter is at the age where she's like making all her animal noises for the first time. And it was so sweet. It was perfect. Also playing in terms of music, The Clouds Above Pompeii. It's just late at night that I cannot remember who sings it. Just look up Clouds Above Pompeii. I think I posted it to my Instagram today. But it's just like a perfect this time of year transition to fall, winter times song. What song are you listening to?
Okay, well, you have to know I'm brand new in the world of Taylor Swift, which means I am currently listening to 1989 for the very first time. And I have to tell you, Out of the Woods,
it's a banger.
When I listen to that song, I am unstoppable. And I am so certain that I'm ready to run a marathon. I can almost guarantee you, Shelby, there's no way I could run a singular mile at this point, and that's not just the cancer speaking, but like, play that song and then 26 point something miles, sign me up. I'm ready to go.
See you there.
Let's go.
That's it. There's something in it. I put it on Cody's half marathon playlist twice, and he said that's why he finished faster. And I know he's just giving me crap, but at the same time, why is it a perfect song for running?
It's so good.
I don't run either, but I know that if I did run, it would be to that song.
Oh, just on repeat.
Absolutely. Such a good one. Obsessed with. I have like twinkle lights behind my curtains in my room. I'm trying to do the, how you say it out loud always feels like I'm definitely wrong, but hygge, I think is how you say it. Mm-hmm. That like Danish concept of comfort and coziness. I'm trying to do that kind of lighting because we have hit the dark days.
Yeah.
Today itself is our very first dark at 5 p.m. day. And I'll tell you what, it came. It came in a real true way. So we did some of my yoga candles for dinner. I have the twinkle lights, and I'm just obsessed with that vibe of just making it feel romantic and fun instead of bleak.
Yeah. Okay, so I am combining my obsessing with recommending.
I love it.
It is the Hatch, the alarm clock. It has been just the best thing I think I've ever bought.
For real.
Maybe ever. Especially this time of year.
Yeah.
Where it's starting to get so dark and it is so tricky sometimes with my mental health. I've had it for, I think, about a year now, and it has, every single day, I have loved it. Like, I would recommend it to anyone, right? And I'm obsessed with it always.
It's perfect. I feel like it just feels so much more gentle. Like, I have tried a million ringtones or, like, sounds on my phone for my alarm, and no matter what, they become jarring, and even if I pick, like, a favorite soft song, then I, like, hate that song after. And there's just something about just waking up with the light that feels so natural and so intuitive and feels really good, which leads into my recommendation. I am recommending that you mirror nature, and that's also what I'm treating myself to in this season, and especially this month, is just that you, like with the lights, like with the Hatch Restore alarm clock, and with so many other things, like just noticing what nature is doing. We talked a little bit about this in our episode with Change, but just noticing that like the world is slowing down, and it's okay for me to slow down too. It's okay for me to feel that pull, and it doesn't mean anything's wrong with me or bad. It's just evidence of my nature, evidence that I am nature, and that's what I'm recommending, that you approach yourself that way, and also that's what I'm treating myself to.
I love that. That's beautiful.
What are you treating yourself to?
I mean, this is less beautiful, but I am treating future Mikkel to a pumpkin cinnamon roll from Muddy Bee's Bakery. It's in Hurricane, Utah. It's on your way to Zion. It is my favorite. I force everyone I love to go there with me. So their cinnamon rolls in general are amazing, but they do specialty rolls. And they just had a pumpkin roll when I stopped by there the other day. And I've never seen them have it before. So obviously I had to have it. But again, we're living off of almonds. Can't be having a cinnamon roll yet. So I froze it. And I'm going to be enjoying this in the future. So by the time this episode comes out, I will have had my pumpkin cinnamon roll. And I am so excited.
I love that. I think there's something really lovely about that. Like, that's a physical act, but I think the idea of, like, doing something for your future self or being thoughtful for yourself. I always tell Cody, I'm like, I love yesterday, Shelby. She really had my back. I'm so glad she made the bed, or I'm so glad she, like, did the dishes so that I didn't have to this morning or whatever. I just think, like, the idea of thinking about you in the future and doing a little something-something is a lovely thought. So I love that for you.
I love that. But also past Shelby.
Yeah.
How is the Shrek hair mask?
Oh, well, listen, it actually has been so good. I don't know if you can tell. I mean, I'm on a very dim Zoom call, but my hair is very shiny and soft.
It is.
Yeah, no, it's Shrekin'. I'll tell you what. It's giving, what are you doing in my swamp? It's feeling good. I've never felt better about myself.
I love that for you.
Would recommend.
That's what we were waiting for. Okay, so today, daylight saving time just ended.
Sure did.
It sure did. So while our mornings are feeling a little brighter, we are entering in the time of year where darkness is here a lot earlier in the day, mm-hmm. which I gotta tell you, year after year, it feels like I've never done this before.
It is shocking. My sister texted me tonight. She's like, I have checked my phone 4 times in disbelief that it is 5:30 at night. I'm like, Girl, I know.
It's tricky. And if you follow Shelby on Instagram, she recently shared in her stories some words that I feel were just so profound and so needed as we are settling into this season and in this darker time. And she kind of talked about the need for deep rest and just offered such a gentle perspective that I would love for you, Shelby, to kind of share here for anyone who may have missed it, and also to expand on it because it is so valuable and so beautiful always, but especially now with where we're at and where we're traveling in this new season.
First of all, that's very kind of you to say. We are not trying to bypass that there are all kinds of like chemical and genetic reasons that people get depression, right? This is just my experience. Depression for me really spikes this time of year, like Mikkel's saying, and it's like I just really need the light and the sun. My therapist and I were talking about how depressed sounds like deep rest when you break it down. And when you feel that in your body, that's what it is. It's this call in from your body that you need deep rest. And that every time I've been depressed in my life, like clinically depressed, that's actually been true for me. When you feel depressed, it feels kind of insatiable. You're tired in so many different ways, and your body is calling you in for rest in so many different ways, and it feels like you can't satisfy it, and it starts to feel really overwhelming. So then when I apply that feeling or this call in for deep rest that feels so hungry, and I apply it to like seasonally depressed, like seasonal deep rest, we look around, and we talked about it in our first episode this season, but everything in nature is taking a deep rest. And it's so evident, it's so clear in the mountains and the trees. And just today, I live by the bird refuge, and there are thousands of birds flying south. Like, there are so many seasonal changes so that things in nature can take this deep rest. But then, because of the cultures in which we live and just the expectations we place on ourselves, we as human beings are not taking a deep rest. And in fact, I think we expect the same level of productivity through these colder and darker months, if not more, because you add in like it's also school season, and it's also for certain families sports season, and it's also holidays, and depending on your family situation, and even if you love your family, that brings a whole other set of dynamics, and it's really tricky. Like, there are layers on layers, and so it seems like for human beings we go against nature, and instead of leaning into this call-in that is nature-wide, why did I just think of like nature-wide is on your side?
Yeah.
But instead of leaning into this call-in like everything else in nature, we fight against it, and then we start to feel this deep shame that not only are you not as productive, but there's something wrong with you that you're not. And in fact, I think it's evidence of our nature. It's evidence that something is right with us, that we are in tune. And so I just thought this year I'd like to approach it differently. How much of my seasonal depression is actually this inner tension, this inner conflict between the fact that I'm just very simply being called into a deep rest, and I'm being pressured externally by culture, schedule-wise, whatever, to perform at the same level that I do in the summer when there is 12 hours of sunlight. There is completely different nervous system response. It feels totally different in my body, and I'm being expected to perform at that level and more. And then my body's like, no, it's time for rest. And so I'm trying this year, this new thing where I just approach myself with the idea that my body knows what it's doing and there's nothing wrong with me. And feeling that call in for deep rest, like I said, it can feel exhausting. It can feel insatiable. It feels hard enough to change and adjust to that call in without adding in the shame on top of it of I'm wrong to feel this way, or I should figure out a way to not feel this way. And so instead of fighting against it this year, I just want to listen to it and be so soft with it and work with it and ebb and flow and rest and deeply rest. And, you know, we're only 5 days into November, but I thought it would be really fun to do a challenge because I don't think I'm alone in these feelings. So I just was like, I know I need the accountability. I know I need the community. I think accountability almost feels like a harsh word. And so I just thought I would put out this invitation, this challenge to ebb and flow, to deeply rest, to do these rhythms and routines inside of November, especially because it's when we start to transition into the 5 p.m., 4 p.m. dark, to deeply rest and to see what that feels like in our bodies if we intentionally connect and return to ourselves every single day and figure out how we can deeply rest in all these different ways that we're being called to and all the ways that depression or those feelings ask for deep rest. Doing those things for 30 days and then seeing what it feels like in our body to be inside of this darker season. And it feels really interesting to me that like it could be that simple and also that complex, right? That you like just have to trust yourself. You just have to deeply rest instead of judging or shaming. And I think that's so interesting that you just need to like listen, that there's nothing wrong with you, that you listen to what's right with you and you respond and you return to it and you deeply rest and you ebb and flow and you let it be not an all or nothing, you have to be this way, you have to be productive, but you let it be all or something and give what you can give.
I love that. And I think that this idea of all or something rather than all or nothing is such a gentle way to embrace this challenge that you're offering, but also such a gentle way to embrace life.
Yeah.
We are changing creatures and we're constantly ebbing and flowing with different capacities and needs and abilities. And, you know, you will flow differently depending on the person you are able to show up as at any given moment. And that isn't a reason to be harsh with yourself. It's a reminder that you are human. So I love what you're offering. And I love this intention of leaning into this season and remembering that you are nature and allowing yourself to be such without the shame.
I think that it's also been really interesting to me as a friend to see you apply this like throughout your experiences with cancer, because like inside of cancer, you are still a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And you are still a wife. You're still a friend. You're still like a community member. And I would love to know how all or something has shown up for you, because I'm sure there are moments of like, oh, I'm not this, or it's not what I want to be, or I don't have the energy to do this this time. So then like, I'm sure those feelings or those narratives that we have culturally or societally come in. So how have you been able to practice all or something?
Yeah, my capacity has been wildly limited as I've navigated life with cancer throughout, you know, these last 2.5 years. But what I am learning and learning again is that there is no longevity or deep joy in my life if I spend every single day shaming myself for not being able to do it all. You know, I can live my life at peace with myself or not. And that is something that I can actively pursue every day, regardless of my capacity. Me shaming myself is not going to shift my capacity into what I want it to be. But me honoring myself, being soft with myself, allowing my efforts to be enough in every season, that may not shift my capacity, but it will shift my perspective and it will shift the lens in which I view life from into a softer and a safer place to land, which it really just deepens my love and deepens my joy even more. For me, that's something that I can always feel grateful for, even on the days I may not be bursting with gratitude over the ways that I'm able or unable to show up. But even then, if I'm soft with myself and accepting of myself, I can hold so much gratitude for the person I am and the fact that I'm here. I'm so grateful I'm here at any capacity, and I'm grateful for the people in my life that stay with me and who recognize that I don't have much to give. My all looks so different than it used to. But when people remind me that that's enough, it helps me remind myself, like, yes, that is enough.
What I hear you saying, too, is that, like, it's also a decision. It's a way of life that embraces peace. And like I said, it's only been a very short time with this challenge, but that was the number one concept I laid out. Like, what actually genuinely brings our body into a calm place? And, you know, those are like morning gratitude, mindful movement, 10 minutes outside, some kind of grounding activity, breath work, whatever. And then like a nightly reflection, like, fine, those are great activities. But the all or something principle that I hear you describing around any activity, not just the ones that are like in our challenge, just what I hear you saying in the core of that is, it's just about deciding if you want to feel peaceful and if you want to view yourself in a soft and kind way. And I think that's exactly what all or something is it's seeing what you can do and seeing where you are with really kind eyes, rather than having a sense of judgment about what you're not or where you were yesterday or what the person next to you is doing. That's really, really hard. But it's just, it's never all or nothing. It's all or something. It's just give what you can give. And inside of maybe the things that you want for your life, which like for this challenge, we have these 5 things we're working for, but like deeper than that, the things you want for your life is like the kind of mother I'd like to be, the kind of person I want to be, the kind of friend I want to be, the kind of, you know, voice I want to be in the world, all or something, right? Like I don't have the same capacity inside of any of those things day to day ever. And I think we can either choose that perspective that like, okay, that means that I am inconsistent or I'm lazy, or that means that I'm unfocused, or, you know, there's all these adjectives and these labels that like start to stick to us as we age or as we go through experiences that we start to like view ourselves in that lens. But taking those off and choosing a more restful way of viewing ourselves and just seeing the something in whatever your effort was, and knowing that that is enough, that is innately enough because it's something. It's just whatever you can put in that area that's important to you. So like for the challenge, we're practicing putting it into these activities. But again, broader than that, whatever you can put into like these areas of your life, whatever drop you can put in is a drop. It's not nothing, it's something. And I think viewing our efforts as something is just so, it's such a choice. And like, it's been really cool as a friend to see you make that choice. And obviously I know it's not easy every day as things ebb and flow, but it's been really, really beautiful and powerful, like so powerful to see you choosing that for your life.
Yeah, it hasn't been easy. And I definitely think that shame seems to be the knee-jerk response, right?
For sure.
In August, I went through my second surgery, and what they were able to do with that left me feeling so much better. This is the best I've felt for years. It was really interesting to sit with myself and recognize all of the ways that I had convinced myself that I am just a lazy person and something's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And why can't I be the mom I want to be? Why can't I show up for the people I love the way I want? Why is every little task so hard? And then all of a sudden, you know, I go through surgery and I'm not dealing with as much cancer in my body, and I have energy again and I have life again and I'm able to do all of these things. And it just was such a tangible reminder that I had been navigating in shame and had convinced myself that because my capacity was so low for so long, that that was who I was as a person. And it's been a really good eye opener for me to recognize that I really need to be softer with myself. You know, I think it's an active practice, and I have definitely grown in that softness over the last few years, but there's always room to continue softening. Your healing still counts, even on the days you struggle most. And every intentional step you take in the direction of love, no matter how big or how small or how slowly you are moving, it matters. It all adds up and it all counts, and none of it was wasted. And just like everything is slowing down in the winter, there's still growth happening. There's still movement. There's still life, and it all counts.
Right. This concept of both deep rest and all or something asks us to look at our honest capacity, the honest invitation our body is giving for deep rest. And whether that's you're recovering from cancer treatments, or there are things going on in your body chemically that maybe you don't have blood work to know, like, or maybe you are just going through stress and your nervous system has inflammation and your body is exhausted, like, your body is always doing its best. And when we respond compassionately, what ends up happening is that we can then meet those needs for rest, and then our capacity over time can increase. And so my experience has been the opposite of what shame taught me always, is that when I am softer to myself and I have given myself space to rest, like I have whittled down my obligations and rested so much. But that tension between the call to deep rest and the shame that we feel that we cannot answer it, or we feel like we should not answer it, is so great. That mental load is so great that I think it creates these feelings. And if we can just soften, like you're saying, and we can just practice this all or something, it means what is the call in right now for what I can genuinely do inside of this? And what's the something I can give? And whatever I can give is enough. You give what you can give and it's enough. It has to be, and it will be, and it always is. In yoga, there's this principle, and I'm certain Mikkel and I've talked about it like 4 times on this podcast, but the principle of asteya, of non-stealing, part of that is you not stealing from other people the opportunity to grow. And part of the way that we do that is when we people please, or we are dishonest about our own capacity out of shame. And if you can be honest with someone and be like, I actually really can't do that right now, or I'm not up to that, we then give them a growth opportunity. And if we live in shame and we live in this all or nothing mindset where we have to perform, we are stealing growth opportunities from other people, we're also stealing the softness and the permission we offer when we're just honest. Because when one person is honest, it is permission for so many other people to be honest about the things that they love, about the things that they can do, the things that they can't do, the things that they need. It just, your honesty and your embracing your all or something, it's a domino effect. It's for everyone. And that's what's been really cool about this being like a community challenge, is like, it's so fun to see people's realizations and thoughts, and just the messages I feel like I'm getting are so helpful to me that I wish there was an all or something support group, which is what I feel like I accidentally created in this community challenge. I wish there was one in the whole world for every person and every woman, especially, to just know that, man, your efforts matter. And like Mikkel's saying, those little things add up, and it's all okay. It's okay to rest, and it is okay to listen to your capacity, and it is okay to give your something and not have your something be everything all the time.
Your survival is beautiful. Your existence is beautiful, and you are so loved and lovable in every season and at every capacity, exactly as you are.
And we hope you'll remember it.